Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. We are proud to be the UK's number one legal consumer podcast. Our legal conversation today will be about divorce, private court hearings if you don't want to wait. I am joined by senior barrister Michael George from Three Paper Buildings Chambers in London. Michael is a specialist family practitioner with over 30 years experience, and he has a reputation for a good-humoured and robust forensic approach with careful analysis. He is also qualified to hear private financial dispute resolution hearings. In addition to his court work, Michael is a regular writer for professional journals and he lectures the profession on legal matters. Michael, thank you so much for joining me today.
Patty, thank you very much for having me. And it makes me sound very, very old, doesn't it? 30 years.
No, not at all. Very experienced and wise is how I would refer to that. Since the pandemic, divorce rates are up and sadly over 42% of marriages in the UK end up in divorce. Statistics say that the average divorce costs over £14,000 in legal fees. And if you cannot agree on a mutual basis on how your assets and liabilities will be divided, then you will be at the mercy of your local family court and waiting for the court to list your matter to be heard. However, what alternative options are there to waiting often months and months for a hearing date for you to be able to finalise the details on who gets what from the assets in your marriage? What is the alternative process all about and what are the benefits to it? In this episode, Michael and I will be discussing all of the above and much more, giving you our top tips. And as always, in plain and simple English. Right, let's kick this off, Michael. Let's start by telling our listeners, what is a financial remedy in a divorce?
Well, Hattie, there's a lot of misconceptions. And I suppose the general public would think the divorce is sorting out the marriage and the money, et cetera, because being the law, it's not quite that straightforward. So the way the courts look at it is the divorce bit is dissolving the marriage, meaning that you can go off and remarry. And then the financial remedy is sorting out the money side of it. So there are two very different parts. They're treated very, very differently. And I'm going to use the terms interchangeably because most people talk about the divorce being the money side as well. But really, we're talking about working out who gets what financially out of the marriage.
Yes, no, indeed. And I have to say, I've said this a lot of times, you know, the word financial remedy doesn't really help because it's not very current in today's kind of society where we think, well, what does financial remedy mean? But yes, the process of agreeing the financial settlement or element of your divorce. So let's talk about what an FDR actually is and then what a private FDR is.
Well, an FDR is a process that came in about 20 odd years ago. And in the old days, what would happen is you put in your statements, hand them into a judge, and you go and have a trial. Then they brought out this process called a financial dispute resolution appointment. And the reality is trials are very, very expensive processes.
Yes.
You have to go through all the evidence and you spend 2 or 3 days arguing about incredible details. But the reality is, most cases come down to common sense and objective view. And what you do in a financial dispute resolution appointment is you don't go through the evidence, but you say, basically, judge, you know, this is our case. This is how much money we've got. This is what we need. These are the children, the expenses, etc. And what do you think? And the judge, it's not an adjudication. A judge will sit there and tell you what they think about the case. And then you're sent off to negotiate. And so sometimes I call it mediation with sticks, because yes, unlike mediation, you have to come to an agreement. But sometimes you need a third party to tell you some home truths.
No, absolutely. And I know you certainly have. And I certainly have been in an FDR hearing where the judge will indicate what should happen, how the assets should get split. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's quite a daunting experience, I think, for most people. And I do think that one of the most difficult things about an FDR is waiting for it to happen. You know, in my law firm, we're the shop front, as I say, to the clients, and we have to handhold clients. And when you get a date, you know, you file for your financial relief because you're not able to come to an agreement with your partner outside of court. You know, everyone's going in different directions. The lawyers are not assisting. You're too far apart. And then you're given a date for 9 months or 10 months or a year later. for the first appointment hearing, which happens before an FDR hearing. But that's just the court diary. You know, it is what it is. And the lawyers cannot dictate that. And I think it's important for people to know that, that your assisting lawyers, if you have assisting lawyers, can't say to the court, well, can we have a hearing within the next 3 months, please, or within the next, you know, 2 months, because our client really wants to move on and get this sorted. Or actually, even more worryingly, one party is starting to get rid of some assets without the authorization and no, even, you know, with the other party not having any idea of what's going, where is it going and how is it going. So, yes, I do think that delayed court dates or long court dates are a problem. But let's talk about the benefits of having a private FDR, Michael. What would you say they are?
Hattie, as you know, courts at the moment are listing into 2024, and we're in what? We're in March 23 now, so looking 9-10 months ahead.
Yes.
So the first advantage is speed. The shortest I've ever had an FDR set up was in 48 hours. We had a case pulled on a Friday.
This is a private FDR, meaning you privately pay.
Absolutely. So the court, unfortunately, this happens more often than it should, turned around to us on a Friday and said, terribly sorry, got no judge. There you go. And so we rang round and we had a private judge lined up for the Tuesday. So yeah. it can be that quick. And you kind of need to know who to ask, and they're available and we're all available because all the lawyers were prepared. We had all the case was all set up, ready to go.
And of course, the delay, sorry to butt in there, Michael, but the delay, if you're going into the court system for an FDR and you're all ready to go, and then you're told it's not going to happen. I've actually been to attend at an FDR and told we can't fit you in, where it's been a listed hearing. You turn up, you're listed to be heard, and then you don't get heard. And if you're given a date in 3 or 6 months later, then the information that you've got on your finances has to be updated. You need updated bank statements, updated mortgage statements, updated savings, pension statements, and on it goes, valuations of cars or assets. So that, you know, that is another big issue, I think.
Indeed, and the reality is, the longer a case runs, the more the bills just rack up. And it's not about solicitors exploiting the situation. It's that things change. You actually have to update your disclosure. So that's a whole drag for the private clients, for the personal clients, but also for the solicitors have to go through, have to check the bank accounts, you know, what are the balances, has someone been siphoning money off the side, et cetera, and that all costs money on that. So the first thing is speed. And the good news is you save time, you'll save money. The other great advantage is you get to choose your judge because you have to agree who it's going to be.
You mutually agree on that, which is great. Yeah.
Indeed. Because at the end of the day, Hattie, you know, the crucial thing about it is you're getting an objective viewpoint from a third party. Now, most of the judges are pretty good. Some of them are absolutely excellent. But the judges come from a wide range of backgrounds. You know, I just do financial remedy work. It's my, you know, my morning, noon and night work. Most judges are far more generalist. Some judges get their appointment and they've never seen a divorce case in their lives. Now, there's a lot of good work being done with the financial remedy courts, and the courts are working on this. But you run a risk of having a judge who has very, very little experience.
And we're talking about if you go for the court system, if you go for the
court system,
you could end up with a judge, is what you're saying, Michael, that doesn't necessarily have the expertise and experience as a private FDR judge would have, which is specific to, you know, somebody who knows about financial remedy, perhaps more in some cases than a judge that you'll get allocated in the court, normal court system.
Indeed. And also within the specialism, you can pick a judge who might be temperamentally suited to your case. Some who is going to be well tuned into issues of domestic abuse and violence, and we'll get a proper view of that, because sometimes that's in the background of a case and that has to be handled properly and sensitively. You may want a judge who is very good in international tax issues or trust issues and things like that. And, you know, I'm in midway through a trial at the moment, and you've got a perfectly competent judge, but they've never dealt with offshore trusts. Jersey, and they've never crossed things called protectors and things. It's not the judge's fault, But you don't want to get an opinion from a judge who hasn't come across these areas before. The idea is the barristers to help them through and explain the law, et cetera, et cetera. But also, if you're really trying to say, well, look, judge, take a look at this case. Where do you think it's going to land at a trial? You need people who've gone through those issues time and time and time again and will know how it plays out.
Absolutely.
So that's the great advice. The other issue that you get is that, you know, our judges work incredibly hard. And very often you'll be doing 4, maybe 5 financial dispute resolution appointments in a day. That's a lot. You get an hour with your judge.
That is a lot, because they've got to read papers and bundles and skeleton arguments and all sorts of stuff.
Absolutely. And so you've got your poor old judge is having to fly through 4 or 5 cases a day because they're loaded. On a private FDR, your judge is yours for the day.
And focused. And I think one of the best things I've seen in a private FDR, that the judge is entirely focused on your case, leaving more time for negotiations, increasing. I think there's an increased prospect of settlement in private FDRs.
Well,
that's my experience.
Indeed. And your judge will have, your judge has always read the papers the night before or the day before. Very often they send out little questions to the lawyers beforehand going, well, I want to know about this and this and this. Help me with this before we ever even meet them. You never get that in court.
No.
And
in normal court, yes.
Indeed. And you arrive at court, you know, you arrive at your hearing. You start when you want, which is usually your
you get to select the date and time and location,
absolutely,
don't you? So
yep.
Obviously, when you find that, when you agree on the judge that you want, you'll say, right, Michael, for example, Mr. George, when are you available? For your next hearing, and you'll get 1 or 2 or 3 dates to choose from, and they will be a lot sooner than any court date that can be given to you from the normal court system.
Totally. And the other dynamics, I mean, I've done a few cases where you've got people who have celebrity presence. They don't want to go to court because everyone's there. I remember being in court when Boris Becker turned up, and it was mayhem, poor chap. You know,
well, it is at the moment, isn't it, with Prince Harry?
Absolutely. And you're trying to sort out your family stuff. You've got that going on. But the other aspect about it is that you will be somewhere quiet and peaceful. You'll have your own room where you can sit and talk and do instructions and things like that. But unfortunately, our courts don't have these facilities. If you're lucky, you'll get a room.
I know. I have often been perched in a corner, sometimes sitting on the floor almost, where you're crouched down to try and get your files open and your laptop open and going through stuff with your client. I know it's just a different experience, Michael, isn't it? It's a better experience. I'm not knocking our court system because I know they're doing the best. They're doing their best, but it just doesn't sometimes cater, on issues like this.
Indeed, and they're public spaces. People can and do bring their children. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, sometimes it's just necessary because that's how family life is. But you can find yourself trying to negotiate and you've got children crying in the background and some very distressed people with other cases. And none of that is a good way to try and sort out your own private personal business. So cost aside, I'm a great fan. I'm
a
great fan.
Just on that point, you say cost aside, but if you're going to pay you're for legal assistance in drips and drabs and ongoing, and you're building up 7, 8, 9 months, 12 months for an FDR, surely having it quicker and paying a sum in a shorter period of time, I'm telling you now, I think it will cost less.
Well, generally. And interestingly, I think the barristers have finally got their heads around a bit of transparency on this. So we at 3PB, we publish all our rates. Queen Elizabeth Buildings, they're a big set of chambers. They do it. Bedford Row do it. I think most of the chambers are now catching up. So if you go online, you can see who does the work. You'll see my standard fee is £4,000 plus VAT because I'm fairly senior. Our most junior people are about £1,500 for relatively standard.
That is very reasonable.
You can also, if you really want to go large, you can get the KCs on board. And actually, you can have retired judges. We have a very senior retired judge, Martin Dancy, who will do these hearings as well. And you can get senior Court of Appeal judges. I mean, you're talking £10,000, £15,000, and they're dealing with multi-million pound cases. So not your run-of-the-mill cases, but you know exactly what you're doing, and both sides share
And
the
I
cost.
think,
You only
I
pay
think,
half. You pay half.
yes, each party pays half of the costs for a private FDR. That's normally the way, unless one party says, look, I'll pay for it all, because I know you, the other side hasn't got the cash flow perhaps to do it, and then it happens.
That
but
does
it
happen.
and I, th- I think it's really important to point out that getting the right judge for your case, because agreeing on the assets and liabilities and who gets what and how it's divided up is whether you like to hear it or not, is going to affect the rest of your life. And it's so crucial, I think, to get it right. Apart from the fact that, you know, people have to understand that you were a unit, one unit. So half of one will never equals one. Everybody's going to get less. But I just think it's so important that rather than saying, well, I don't really want to pay to have my financial remedy in a private hearing, but I will just long out the next year, just the money that it's going to cost you over the next year, the time, the stress, the delay, the fact that, excuse me, you can't financially move on until you settle the finances of your marriage and you do it properly.
Indeed. You know, Hattie, one of the big issues we also have is that finances never stand still in time. So if you're waiting 9 months, you've got a party
earlier.
Spending money, or maybe both are spending money. And we spend a lot of time going through this, saying, is it reasonable or is it not reasonable, etc. The reality is the task of trying to add monies back is very, very difficult indeed.
Oh, I've never seen it happen. I've never seen money being added back because one party has gone and said, well, I'm selling that asset. It's in my name. I need the money. Don't care. I've seen assets go from marriages because of time delays. I've only had a case recently where the husband sold three properties. He says he had debts. He said, you know, he had to disperse the money to pay his debts. Poof, it's gone. We can't find any of it.
And the problem is you know, people go through, you know, the old midlife crisis, buying the sports car. People go and retail therapy to cheer themselves up. And thousands
holidays.
Holidays absolutely go out the door. You know, jolly trips with a new partner. That's a red rag to a bull. And you spend a lot of time sorting those things out. But actually, once the genie's out the bottle, you can't get it back in.
No. We've not seen one asset come back in. You try to say, well, it was worth that. And the arguments get bigger. So the costs get bigger because we're spending more time on trying to, you know, actually say what's in the pot. Has anybody gotten rid of anything because of the time delays to get to an FDR hearing? And, you know, it's not healthy. The delays in getting your finances agreed in your marriage is not healthy. But
and psychologically yes. You can't move on. You can't get on with life.
It's very distressing. I don't think anybody has a good time being stuck in a position where financially they cannot move on going through their divorce because the financial aspects of their marriage has not been dealt with. But I'm going to ask you the $1 million question, because I told you that a lot of people ask this question and the answer is not readily available. Is a private FDR hearing legally binding? Are parties bound?
Yes and no.
So, that's a lawyer's answer, Michael.
It is a lawyer's answer.
Oh, God, I'm going to take a sip of my coffee.
This is what it is. So look, the indication that I would give in a private FDR is not binding on anyone, but it wouldn't be for a judge. You're just saying, look, here I am as a judge. This is what I think. This is what I think you need for your housing, your income, your pension needs, etc. And the parties take that away and they negotiate. Now, if they come to an agreement as part of those negotiations, then you move into what's called a ZIDIUS agreement. Forget the name of the case, but you have a binding agreement. Now, that agreement would be binding between you, but it's subject to approval by a judge.
So what we're talking about here, let me just break that completely down, is that same as a normal FDR, actually, in the sense that the judge will give you, as it will happen in a private FDR, indication of where the parties need to be to try and settle. Because if you go to a final hearing, which is literally saying to the judge, we need you to decide, judge, because we can't decide on how to divide this all up. That's when a judge is actually going to decide. But in any FDR, private or not, the judge is going to say, based on what you've got in the pot, this is where the line needs to be drawn and this is who should get what. So if you go away or at that hearing, if you can go in and out and try to negotiate and settle it, you can draw up a consent order.
Indeed. And that consent order will get sent off to a judge paperwork wise. It gets accompanied by a thing called a D81. It's a document that just sets that financial information for the judge. And your judge, you don't go to court. It's all dealt with on paper. And you know, your judge will take a quick look at it and will virtually always approve it. If there's something outrageously wrong.
I've never had one come back from the court in 12 years. So, yeah.
No, I've never had one after a private FDR come back. I've certainly had a couple of judges when you're outside court negotiating come back and going, no. I'm glad you really aren't being fair on this one. But that barely ever happens. Sometimes a judge might come back and say, can you explain this to me? And you need to. And sometimes you need to set out this concept of what's matrimonial property and non-matrimonial property. And sometimes you need to explain that to your judge.
Yes.
But that's all dealt with on paper. But coming back to Hattie, to is it binding? If you have, forget the consent order, but if you have heads of terms drawn up by lawyers where you're all represented and you've got disclosure, you are stuck by that. Now, yes. If someone tries to wriggle out.
They're going to have a tough time.
I think a very tough time. And if necessary, you can go to a judge and go, look, judge, this is the agreement we reached the private FDR. They're trying to wriggle out. And the judge will take a look at it and go, well, why? Prove to me why this you shouldn't be bound by this.
With legal representation. Yeah, very tough to get out of an agreement made on those circumstances.
We call it notice to show cause. And yes. Very, very... judges can look at it again and they can unwind it. But it barely ever happens. I mean, I'm looking at my 30 years. I've only ever happened to me twice where a judge said, actually, that really is a bit unfair. You need to go back and think again. But neither after a private FDR. Actually, they were after a court-based FDR, funnily enough,
right.
where sometimes things are done in a little bit less detail and someone has taken advantage of the other side.
No, I hear you. But I think it's really important for people to understand that even if they go through the court system and have an FDR, if you come out and you agree something and everybody signs a consent order, a binding agreement that says, you know, we agree, but to then turn back and say, well, actually, I'm not going to agree to that. The person that's standing up and saying, I'm not going to agree to it anymore, is going to have a really tough time and is probably unlikely to get that agreement overturned. So don't think that having a private FDR makes it any less likely or less stronger of an agreement, because it is a serious process with, you know, that you should have legal assistance in, and you've got a proper barrister hearing your case.
But Hattie, just rolling back, because you do need to have a court order if you want to sort out your finances. And I've also come across a lot of cases where it's amicable. Everyone's getting on fairly well and parties come up with a deal they think is about fair. And sometimes it's written up. Sometimes it's written up by solicitors. But there is no limitation period on your financial remedy from your divorce. And the longest case, I've dealt with one after 23 years, people coming back. The famous one is called Vincent Wyatt.
Yes.
But when they separated, they were hippies. Living a very nice lifestyle, going around festivals. He was never going to make anything of himself, so his parents thought he was charging phones at the back of an old ambulance.
But then he did.
Scroll forward 30 years. He's Mr. Ecotricity, a very well-known, fabulously wealthy and very successful eco-entrepreneur, worth millions and millions and millions. And after 30 years, his former wife comes up and says, well, I'd like some financial remedy, please.
Mm.
And I won't go into the details of it, but he said, but we sorted it all out. There was no proof of that. So they ended up going to the Supreme Court eventually at vast expense and him paying her money.
I tell you, when I do the divorce podcast, the amount of time I bang on about the importance of having a consent order that's sealed by a court, it doesn't mean you have to have your process in court, but to make any agreement that you come to in your marriage legally binding is absolutely and utterly key.
And the vast, vast majority, Hattie, as you will know, of the financial remedy orders are made without the lawyers going anywhere near court.
Mm.
Dealt with on paper.
Yes.
It's a very efficient system they've got for that.
It is. I have to say, I've had lots of cases where we have not had to go further than the first appointment hearing, which is the first hearing, and everyone then, we manage to negotiate it out, and we've drawn up a consent order between us, and then we send it to the court to just get the court, as you said earlier, get the judge to approve it, to make it legally binding, to seal it. Then everybody can move on literally the next day once that's received, and it works very well indeed. But Michael, let me ask you, what are your top three tips if someone is considering a private FDR?
Well, I suppose the first thing is listen to your lawyers to choose someone that you both agree, because fundamentally you're asking for the opinion of someone that you trust. So let's make sure that both sides trust the opinion that they are going to be getting as the landing zone, and listen to it carefully. That's the important thing. Second thing is expect to be there all day. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Sometimes there's a
Yes.
lot of detail. And people expect to be out there by lunchtime, and they begin to get cabin fever by 1 o'clock and things.
I have to
And take a
say that
break. But
that's really important. Prepare to be there. So the longest I've been in is a 13 hours. 13 hours with the client, and we were just it was great because we got there in the end, but you need to pace yourself. Don't think I'm going along to private FDR. I'll be there for an hour and then I'll be home, like you say,
And
Tony.
the good thing about the private FDR is you've got the building for as long as you've got. I remember doing some case in Worcester at the Christmas. It was ever so sad. Very decent, nice people. We had to go to the bar over the road, and while we were trying to sort out the divorce, there was a Christmas party going on in the background,
Oh
and there was a sort
gosh.
of a naughty elf and a naughty angel running around the back.
Oh
Quite
God.
bizarre, quite bizarre. But
Bet you're
it's
never going to forget that one.
never going to forget that one. But very hard to concentrate. But very hard to sort out your private business sitting in the corner of a pub. I don't know, but sometimes it's the only place you can get that's open at 9 o'clock at night to sort your case out. But
Yes.
do expect to be there all day. But take a break, step out, get some fresh air when you need to try and keep yourself, in the zone. The second point is be prepared to give and take. And
Yes.
beware of sacred cows. And the classic sacred cows very often is one party just doesn't want to sell or move a house. And that can be a real bar. One party will often say, my pension is mine, I'm not going to share it. And
Yes. Yes.
that's actually where the FDR is very, very good, where you have a judge saying, you go to trial, that house is going to be sold, that pension is going to be shared. Now, we can talk about who's going to get what out of each of it, but you're not going to be able to ring fence it. They are there to be shared. Get your head around that and move on, and listen to that. I guess my third and my final point is this. Spend your hard-earned money reaching an agreement with the other side, and give them the
Yes.
money rather than give it to your lawyers. Because Hattie, you and I, we've all done far too many cases where you try very hard with your clients and they just won't settle.
I get
And
it.
you end up at trial, and guess what? The cost that both parties have spent going to trial is as much or more than was between them at FDR for negotiations.
Well, that's actually such a key point, Michael, because I have often said, and I often say still, take a commercial view. What you're fighting over, if it's 50 grand and you're going to a final hearing, going to trial, is going to cost both of you 50 grand each, you can't go. That's commercially just not viable to do that. You've got to take a commercial view. What is it you're arguing over, and how much will you get less legal fees and the time it's going to cost you and the stress it's going to cost you if you actually try and do a deal where you are standing today?
But the problem we've got, and as family lawyers, we sign up for this. But you talk about taking a commercial view, and you should. But essentially, at the centre of our case, it's a human problem. It's a couple that loved each other once, that wanted to. No one gets married expecting to get divorced,
No.
but it happens. And our job also are the softer skills of trying to get people to understand and take a commercial view in what is a very emotional, difficult, personal problem, where hopes and dreams have not happened, and they've turned to dust. And it's about picking up the pieces and moving on, and enabling people to move on. And Hattie, it may be strange for your listeners to say, well, why are these lawyers moaning about costs? We're all at it for the money. But Hattie, I mean, you and I, we've got fortunately more work we know what to do with. People are queuing up
Yes.
outside the door. And you know, there's no joy or professional satisfaction in taking money from good people when actually, you know, you're not doing a good job and you're not getting value for money. You're doing your
No,
best for them, and we
absolutely.
work for them, but our clients don't always do what we advise them to do, and that's their right, and that's how it should be. But you know, really, what I say to the general public is listen to your lawyers, but not all trying to, you know, in it for the money, because there's going to be someone else who'll pay us to do, you know, a value for money job. And you know, think very carefully about how you spend your hard-earned money. And the private FDR is a quicker and generally cheaper way of getting a better satisfaction. You can't
Yes.
guarantee success, can't guarantee it, but
Because both
for
sides have to want to settle. I
indeed.
mean, I've had many a time where my client is just being utterly reasonable, but the other side is not. And you can't say, well, you have to just bear and grin it, you know. And both sides have to want to settle. And as I said earlier, you need to remember that you are one unit before, and half of one will never equals one. So everybody has to accept, you know, less than what they had when they were in the marriage. That's a given. And you have to think about your well-being. And I think you touched on some really key points there, Michael. You know, it's so important to just try and keep sane and take the highly emotional charge out of the process to be able to make informed choices, informed decisions, and allowing you both to move on with your lives. And particularly if you've got young children, you know, I see it all the time where there's, you know, more and more divorces happening, unfortunately, with young children. And it does, the ripple effect on the children of the two parents at each other's throat, you know, because of the where are the children going to live, and are they going to be kept in private school if they're in private schools, and who's going to pay for the sports club, and who's going to pay for the creche, and who's going to pay for the Christmas holidays. It goes on and on. But honest to God, your well-being and your mental well-being and the ability to be able to move on because you have come to a quick financial resolution is worth its weight in gold.
I mean, Hattie, what I often say to, you know, my clients is this. So think of all the couples that you've known. You were friends with both sides. And once they get divorced, how many are you still friends with both sides after 2 years? And I know, and despite
Yes.
the fact this is my day job and my parents have been through the process and had a very civilized divorce, you know, it's very, very, you as an adult, you don't stay friends with both sides because that conflicts your relationship.
Yes.
It's
Well,
very
I've been through
hard.
a divorce. I've got the t-shirt. I get it. I totally get it.
And yet, of course, our children, who hopefully love both parents, we expect them to maintain a relationship with two adults who are, you know, at battle. And generally, I find a lot of clients turn around and say, look, you know, what do I do about seeing the children? They want to do this, that, and the other. And generally say, look, just sort the money side out first, wait a couple of months, and then come back to us. If you can't work it out, then come back. And genuinely, in my 30 years, I've only ever had one person come back after divorce. Now, is it perfect? I don't know. But it's not so bad that they have to come knocking on the door, spending another fortune on lawyers to sort out the children arrangements. And
Yes.
sadly, it's just the way that people are. And maybe I'd be the same if I was in that position. I'm not criticizing anyone. But when you're, you know, tense, nervous, not trusting one another about the money, the children inevitably suffer on that. So the great thing about the private FDR as well, and negotiations and mediation is sorted out as quickly as
Get
you
it done exactly. Get it
can.
done quickly. Get it
Huge
when I
benefit.
say. Yeah, don't when I say quickly, don't rush it, but get it dealt with as soon as possible, because the longer it sits and waits for the court dates to happen and wait for the resolution to happen, you could be in danger of assets being used and taken out of the marriage. Your legal fees will no doubt go up, and you'll be in far more control. Both of you will be far more control, I think, with a private FDR. But Michael, that's all we've got time for.
Absolutely. Pleasure. And thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. And do you know what I was thinking? I thought during this podcast, we should do an episode, if you'd like to, about what's not a matrimonial asset if you're married. I think that would be great.
We're delighted. In fact, that's good. I'm doing a lecture for the profession in, ooh, I think next month. I think we've got about 160 odd. So it's all ready
Oh,
to go.
good.
No problem at all.
I've marked your name against that one then. What I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. We have over 160 to choose from. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.